in recent years, the so-called top three Chinese food corporations, Lanzhou La Mian, Yang's Braised Chicken and Rice, which means Huangmen Ji Mi Fan, and Sha Xian Delicacies, I think a lot of us will be able to tell, it's Sha Xian Xiao Chi. They've all started the expansion to overseas markets from as near as Japan to as far as the United States. And why do these restaurants become so popular? And does that mean Chinese food has become the star cuisine around the globe? Well, it sounds very ambitious for those companies to be going overseas, but do they stand a chance?
Yeah, first I have a question for Jessica. Have you tried any one of this food mentioned?
Well, I've definitely tried Lanzhou La Mian because it's very famous, and I've tried it here in China, but I haven't tried the restaurant overseas.
Do you want to introduce to the audience,
sure,
to the listeners, what the Lanzhou La Mian looks like or tastes like?
Yeah, well, the thing about La Mian is in English it's translated as ramen. And when I was growing up, ramen was like those instant noodles in a cup or something that you would eat while traveling or when you were a poor college student. But La Mian from Lanzhou is actually hand-pulled noodles, handmade, chewier, thicker, really good flavors to them. They soak up flavors really well. And actually, as an American growing up, I've never really tried non-processed noodles, real handmade noodles. And so when I actually got to try Lanzhou La Mian, it's really something that shouldn't be missed. And I think it's really common throughout Western China. And they've formed a staple diet for centuries there, which is, of course, makes sense to me because they're really good. And they usually have beef or mutton on top, right?
Yes.
And they can be stir-fried, but usually found in a soup,
at least
what I've found. And many of the La Mian or ramen restaurants are owned by Hui ethnic families from northwestern China and serve only halal food, so no pork. And La Mian restaurants are the most common halal restaurants in eastern China. So I'm really excited to see that they're expanding to the west because it's really a noodle that should be tried.
And it's really amazing because only a few years ago, we've only seen it expanding to major cities in China, in the eastern part of the country. Like 2 or 3 years ago, Dongfang Gong.
Oh, yeah.
Niuro La Mian. That's a brand of Lanzhou Niuro Mian.
Yeah,
They've just set up shop in Beijing, everywhere in the city.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're expanding overseas.
Yes, and I think the reason why this Lanzhou La Mian can grab the public attention is because a brand called Mazilu Niuro Mian, the Mazuru Beef Ramen, it's just opened a store in Tokyo, in Japan. And according to the report, it says every day there will be a long queue outside the noodle place and people just waiting for taste how good it tastes like. Also, the noodle has shown up in The Bite of China, Shi Jian Shang Le Zhongguo, the documentary. So soon, this brand has aroused public attention.
It makes a lot of sense because the most authentic Lanzhou beef noodle soup, they're not called Lanzhou La Mian, actually. They're called Lanzhou Niurou Mian.
Mm.
It means Lanzhou noodle soup. Mm. And the most authentic noodle soup are found in Lanzhou, where in the very quiet alleys and streets. You have to get up very early in the morning to queue up.
Yes.
And once you get a scoop. Well, I think there was a few years ago I traveled to Lanzhou. I had to get up very, very early to queue in.
Oh, so does it taste different from the noodles we have?
Totally different.
Oh, really?
I mean, I have to say Dongfang Gong is somewhat familiar to the taste of whatever you can get in Lanzhou. But you have to travel all the way there to enjoy the best.
Yeah, the reason why I love Lanzhou noodles is because I love the soup base. For Japanese ramen, I feel the soup is too thick for me or too heavy for me.
That broth, huh?
Yeah. And I feel like for the Lanzhou La Mian, I really appreciate the soup. It have a deep flavor, but it's very clear. And I like the coriander and spring onion decorated on the top of the noodle.
Well, I guess that's why people in Japan are lining up around the block for it.
But if they really are going overseas, they face serious competition in the form of pho, the Vietnamese pho.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to try that?
It's one of my favorites. My very favorite thing is the lime in there because actually limes are very difficult to get in China. And so I really like that citrus flavor inside the pho and also Japan is pretty famous for its ramen.
But they usually feature seafood.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So another brand that is going overseas, 黄焖鸡米饭. Personally, I never had a chance to try this.
I only had it in our CRI's canteen, so I don't know if I tried the really authentic, the 黄焖鸡米饭. So based on, we can share the story of the 黄焖鸡米饭, and it's no small feat for a restaurant franchise to operate in 6,000 locations in China, and those who can successfully operate are certainly top of the line. But Xiao Lu Yang, founder of Yang's Braised Chicken Rice, got there within 6 years, and he did it by serving only one dish, just the 黄焖 braised chicken rice. So I think based on my research, I think this kind of like rice is how you have the braised chicken and rice, but you can add whatever vegetables or fruits, vegetables or meat you like inside. For example, you can add potatoes or you can add fish balls or something. I don't know if I'm saying it right, mm-hmm. because I haven't tried before.
Did you get a chance,
no,
Jessica?
I've actually never tried this. The Yang's Braised Chicken Rice is what I've heard it been called. However, I have done a report on it because they just opened a store in the United States.
Wow. Mm.
I believe it was in California, and it's becoming very, very popular. And what made me really happy when I did the story is that the owner, Yang, he actually said that, you know, that he's had many requests to open many stores at one time in the United States, but he said no. He said, I'm really focused on the quality and getting the taste of this right and getting the service right in the first store in the U.S. before expanding to other locations. So it's actually kind of gained a small reputation, especially with those living around where the first store is in the United States.
What I was curious about was how that company or how that franchise was able to expand in such short notice, in such short period of time. And all of a sudden, it's like everywhere you go, you see 黄焖鸡米饭, that plate everywhere.
Yeah, and also I'm a little bit worried. Will they win the heart of the American diners? Because we all know that 黄焖鸡米饭, for the chicken, they have bone inside.
Oh.
But I don't know if, Jessica, do you like the chicken with bones or you just like the...
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering if they made it boneless chicken in the United States or if they used a different cut of meat. But I'm not sure. I haven't tried it here.
Mm.
So I would be really interested to see the comparison. I do wonder if they change it a little bit because they're not only in the American market, but Australia, Japan, and Singapore.
Mm.
So maybe they're kind of like other restaurants that change their menu a little bit, but that's unconfirmed. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. And also the chicken in the United States, they don't have skin.
Yeah, usually not. Sometimes, but usually not. Just the white, usually white meat.
To some Chinese, that's the icing on the cake.
Yeah. So they really need to adapt to the local market and local diners' appetite and their preference of like eating. So, yes.
Yeah, but maybe they haven't done that. You know, I guess we would have to try it here and then go try it there. So any of the listeners who have tried both places, let us know.
Yes.
One thing about it is that it has only one thing on the menu.
Oh, yeah. Just a... 黄焖鸡米饭, so they need to make some variation of the menu, maybe by adding your favorite stuff inside the dish, because it's like a stew, right?
I was thinking that since 黄焖鸡米饭, or the braised chicken and rice, is a fast food, so by eliminating the extra choices for customers, it is precipitating or making it faster for customers to make that decision and finish the food.
Yeah,
that could be a very good business model, because I think there was a steakhouse near the apartment where I lived in Washington, D.C. They only offer one thing on the menu.
Yeah, because then it makes people feel like, oh, they can do that so well, they don't need to sell anything else.
Oh,
there are actually several restaurants in the United States that have this model, this kind of model, where it's a very limited menu.
Makes them sound authoritative, like they know what they're doing. They're not messing around.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Mm. So, but the next choice, can you tell me? I think it has many things on the menu.
Yes,
right?
It's a 沙县小吃 or 沙县 delicacies.
Mm.
I think it's originated from a county named 沙县, obviously, in eastern Fujian province. Mm. So that was a place where local residents worry about making their ends meet. Now, the name of the province has become a trademark known across the country. And the secret weapon is selling local delicacy, cheap, convenient, and bursting with local colors. And I have to say, I only tried less than 5 times. And based on the times that I've tried them, I believe they do have a rich menu. There's a lot of stuff that you can choose from. But, well, from the experience I had with the location in Beijing, I have to say the flavor can be a little monopolous. They're all salty, not necessarily very salt. Uh-huh. So there's nothing spicy, nothing with vinegar, nothing with sugar. So the flavor can be a somewhat monopolous, and then worry about its future in the U.S. market.
I feel like, well, actually, the U.S. market might adapt to that very well. I think the biggest complaint about Chinese people when they go to the U.S. is they say, oh, nothing has any flavor. Tastes like, you know, nothing has flavor, just a regular taste. And I think the U.S. kind of adapts really well to something that's a little bit milder, not totally, like, vinegar isn't very popular in the United States. Too salty things isn't very popular in the United States. So I think this is something that could really take off. And they do have a store in the United States now, as well as Australia, Germany, Singapore, and Japan. So it seems like they've really taken it global.
Yes, I've tried Shaxian delicacies, and I really love the soup and dumplings there.
Oh, yeah, soup is famous.
Yes, and I think the reason why it can attract so many people in China is because it's a reasonable price. Because for just do a calculation, it's like you only need to pay maybe nearly 20 yuan per person for eating the Shaxian Xiaochi. And also, yeah, I can say that it really has a store in Australia, because when I was studying in Sydney, I live in a downtown, and there are just a Shaxian delicacies store in the city of Sydney. But I have to say, they don't have the advantage like they in China, because in China, their price are really cheap. But in Australia, their price are relatively expensive for its food.
Well, probably because it's exotic there,
so
people are willing to pay more, and also the higher prices of imported food there. But I really do think these things, despite maybe higher prices, could take off. I mean, especially I would look forward to it because it's real Chinese food abroad, whereas mostly what I was raised on is something called Panda Express. And Americans out there know that. And I remember going there once, and my Chinese friend made fun of it because their mascot, which is a panda, was dressed in Korean clothing. So you could see that at least now the chain really adapted to American flavors, and they are kind of mixing their cultures really heavily. And so I hope that these delicacies from China can make their way into foreign markets to really show foreigners and all over the world what kind of Chinese food is the real Chinese food.
Yeah, I think they do have a shot in establishing a foothold in the United States or in overseas market, especially when I remember going to a lot of malls or outlet stores, that, and in the food court, there's always at least one Chinese restaurant, no matter it is authentic or not. At least it's there, right?
Yeah.
And also, if you travel to New York, they have very authentic Chinese or Sichuan food.
Yes.
So maybe the Chinese, maybe the foreign stomachs are just getting used to Chinese food.
Yeah, really, I remember one time I visited New York to the Flushing, and because my hometown is Tianjin, and a friend in New York just bring me to a Tianjin restaurant, and they even make like a really traditional like Chinese cuisines, Tianjin cuisines, for example, the jianbing, the pancake, and also some, I don't know how to say that in English, but it's a very, very typical Tianjin food. So I think it's really good, because there are like huge Chinese population in those foreign countries, and I think those kind of like Chinese food branch can attract lots of like Chinese people.
Right. And I think they can survive and do very well and prosper. And hopefully maybe it even changes the local cuisine a little bit.
Yes, indeed. So I'd like to ask, who would you bet your money on? The noodle soup, the braised chicken and rice.
For me,
Asian delicacies.
I prefer the beef noodle.
Same here.
I would go with the chicken and rice.
Okay.
No one bets their money on Shaxian delicacies.
No.
So I hope those business owners are listening to our show.
Yes.